Hello everybody, I'm Bruce Kyle. I'm an architect evangelist with Microsoft Corporation. I work with software companies in Oregon, Washington, Utah, and Colorado, and wherever you are. Today we're going to talk about how you can take system.threading.tasks and how you actually use them in your code. We're going to show you how you can parallelize your application so that they run on multi-core systems. Before I get going, I'd like to thank Rob Bagby for his code, which is what I'm going to be showing today. And I also like to thank Jeffrey Richter for Wintellect for his insights and all the things that he provided me in showing this example for you today. So this is part three. In part one, we showed a little bit about why you would want to do parallelize your application. We talked about how the increase in transistors doesn't necessarily lead to faster computing. In fact, you're going to need to use parallel computing techniques going forward in order to increase the speed of your application. You're going to want to be able to take advantage of the multi-cores. In part two, we talked about what threading was and a little bit about how that's different from tasks. And we actually showed you how much easier tasks were. We showed you a little bit about how threads there's a tremendous overhead in threads and how that may or may not help you in your application. And we showed you how tasks take advantage of the multiple cores just by using them. And today we're going to show you the three different ways that you can use tasks in your application. We're going to show them in action. And we're going to give you a taste of which one to use when. And we're going to give you a little bit of taste of how that compares to a synchronous application. So there's three different ways of using tasks in .NET 4. We've each put these great big $3 words to each of them. And so when you see this in the documentation, whenever you see imperative task parallelism, all you got to do is remember that what they're talking about is using system.threading.tasks namespace, and basically they're typically showing how to use the task class. Whenever they talk about data parallelism, they're talking about parallel for each and parallel invoke. And these are new commands that they've given in that are part of the system.threading.tasks, but they emulate the for each and invoke that you're used to. And in the third one, there's this declarative data parallelism, which is basically has to do with data. And you can use link to walk through your objects, and you can use new parallel functions inside link in order to do so, which actually builds the code and gets it to execute much faster when on multiple cores. So as we talked about in the last session, system.threading.tasks, there's a very similar way to create a task. It's very similar to that used in threads, and you use task.factory, which creates the task and starts it. Or you can create a task by using new task and giving it whatever kind of return value it is, and then passing it a delegate, which then you can keep around for a while. You don't have to start it immediately. You just start it when, and you don't have to, you can throw it away later. Or you can start it. And then there's the wait command, which waits for the item to finish before continuing on with your current process. And there's a way to return the result. So here in this case, we take t2.result, we'll return date time now after that delegate is complete. Task also has some additional calls such as wait all or wait any, where you can give it a list of tasks that you want to complete before you move on. But what you really want to use is continue with rather than wait. You really want to use continue with, because this will automatically create a new task. You can spin it up, and then you can get the result back and you can move on, so that you can actually chain these by using continue with. You can also create tasks can be parent-child relationships. And whenever you call wait on those, you're waiting for all the parent and for all the children to complete before moving on. You can also use the static for each and invoke methods, and I'll show you what these look like in a moment. But they're very similar to the for each and invoke methods that you're used to already. These are useful whenever you have independent operations, and by that I mean that your method should have no side effects. If you have mutable states, or you need to share state between your methods, then you shouldn't be using parallel for each or invoke. Instead, only use these methods when there are no side effects. And unlike task, these methods won't return until they're all complete. So all your items in the for each or all your items in the invoke won't return control to you until back to your main program until everything is completed. Parallel for each invoke work well if you have lots of compute and lots of items. You don't want to do these for like three or four items because there's an associated overhead with them and they may not get you the kind of performance increase that you're looking for. The main takeaway here is that you don't necessarily want to go through and run your code, and that your code won't necessarily run twice as fast on a dual processor box just by sprinkling in these parallel commands. My suggestion is that you test and make sure that you get the kind of performance that you expect, and that you use them judiciously, that you use them in places that make sense in your application. So you need to be really thinking about when to use for each and invoke. So the top line here shows a for the way that you typically do it now, where you walk through, let's say in this case we have 10 items, when you'd go do some work. And it's just a regular for loop, and you can replace that by doing this for, parallel dot for, and instead of calling the work in the way that you have in the past, you can use this, you pass in a delegate or this lambda expression. In the second one, you have the for each, where you would walk through and do the regular do, where you would do some item when you're walking through a collection. You can do the same now using a parallel for each when you walk through each item in a collection and execute on some item as you have before. Or you can call this parallel.invoke. Parallel.invoke, you can call these three items for do some work. Now, in this case, we show do work 1, do work 2, do work 3, but they can be totally separate functions. They can be do work, do some more work, do some other work. You don't have to have the same functions in each of these. And it's not designed really to walk through items as this example sort of shows. Instead, you can do whatever it is you need to do and invoke these methods in parallel. And what happens in each of these is that the processor calls the system.threading.task.task method or class underneath, and totally transparent to you. The idea is that they want to give you these methods to use and give you the same paradigm, the same thought process that you have in your application code right now. But in each of these, you got to make sure do work, in this case, the do work method can't have side effects. It cannot be mutable. Otherwise, you're going to get errors from time to time and you won't know what causes them. And they'll be very difficult to debug. The third way of invoking the parallelism in your application is to use linked objects. And in this case, we have any enumerable, and we have a data.where clause with this big clause here, and it doesn't matter what's in here, but you can do the data dot as parallel dot where, and that will actually create the methods that you can then execute whenever you call for each. So link to objects creates the things that you're going to do and then does not execute them now until you call the for each method. So I'm going to show you an example here of each of these three methods. We're going to use the system.threading.task. We're going to show you how to use the for each, the for each, and the parallel. And we're going to show you how each of these works in order. In our example today, we're going to walk through a directory. We're going to call it directory sample. And we're going to go create a, we're going to go get a bunch of files that I've stored in my picture folder. And what we're going to do next is make thumbnails of those. So it's a combination of having some I/O and some pretty heavy compute time. We're going to use a stopwatch at each of these junctures to give us a rough generality about how fast the application is going. And we're going to do this in sequential. Then we're going to do fine-grained task. Then we're going to do parallel for each, which we call imperative data parallelism. And then we're going to show you how to do it in plink. Now, before you get too nervous, I'm going to actually walk you through this code. So here we go. So here's the example for each for the sequential. We're just going to walk through a whole list of strings. So we're going to get the list of pictures from the directory, and we're going to walk through each of those pictures, and we're going to create a thumbnail. And then at the end, we're going to show you the time elapsed. So to start with, we're just going to do it the way that you've done it typically now, and just show you as a sequential. Next, we're going to do fine-grained tasks. And you see there's a little bit of difference here. Right here, we're going to go ahead and get the list of the, we're going to create a new task for each one of these. And then we're going to create a new task for each one. And we're going to pass in this create thumbnail for each one of these. And then we're going to wait for all, because if we didn't wait for all of them to complete, the code would simply run on and we wouldn't know how long it took to actually create the thumbnails. In this next case, we're going to use a parallel for. So here we're going to use a parallel for each, where we're going to walk through the list of pics and we're going to go ahead and create a thumbnail for each one of those. And in this last one, we're going to select the output for the create thumbnails based on the pics.asParallel as walking through this an IEnumerable, and then but it doesn't execute yet. It only executes whenever we do this for each part. So if you'd like to see the code, I have a blog posting put up online that I'll give you the link to at the end of the presentation. In the meantime, the first time we go through this, the system actually caches the results of all these thumbnails. And so the first time through, it really isn't a fair choice for the sequential one. So we're going to run it a second time to actually show you how the sequential one stacks up against the other three. So in the first case, it took about 28 seconds to complete the sequential one. In the second one, the task took about 9 seconds. Parallel for each took about 9 seconds. Took a little bit longer, but not much. And the p-link took about 9 seconds too. So let's go ahead and run it one more time so that we can get a fair comparison, because the operating system did go ahead and cache those pictures, which would give the subsequent ones a little better time than you would normally expect. But it does take a little bit. So in this case, it took 13 seconds, and that's due to the caching. So what you see here is that it didn't go exactly twice as fast, because there is some of the code is I/O bound, and that would mean that the operating system itself isn't parallel. It actually goes takes each item and does them one at a time, does them sequentially. And so here you see, but you do see an increase overall based on the compute speed used in the multiple processors or the dual core on my particular processor. So in this demo, we saw how you use system.threading.tasks. We showed how we use the parallel for each and invoke, and we showed how you used parallel link to objects to do the same kind of task and gave you a rough comparison on this particular task on how they did, and they turned out to be pretty much the same. So you can feel free and confident to use them as you need in your applications. So in these three parts, we showed why you should parallelize your application, how you can go and add this functionality into your application. We talked a little bit about how threading and tasks work together and how you can use threads and how you should use tasks. And then today, we showed how you use tasks actually in your day-to-day code. Here's some resources for you. There's the Windows Server 2008 R2 site. There's some information here on the Concurrency Dev Center, which will show you in more in depth about how you use parallelize your applications. And there's the Dev Team blogs here. And if you'd like to review the items that we talked about today and look at the code that we shared, you can go ahead and look at my blog posting on how to get started using multi-core parallel processing you can use. We will see you next time.